I want you to turn to Luke chapter 4. And we'll read this verse first before we go on to this. Chapter 4, we will start from verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, as I promised you last week, I was with my flesh and the spirit. We were fighting, and at last the spirit won, and we had to preach a message which the Lord wanted last week. So this week is what the Lord asked me to preach, this message. It's called, the theme of the message is called Prison Break. How many of you have seen the movie Prison Break? How many of you have not seen? Praise the Lord. Neither have I. How many of you read novels or true stories of prison breaks? I've had. Right, I haven't read. But I always look and feel that there is something that God is speaking to us this morning. There is something God wants to speak to us, every one of us. We like to see the world, that whatever the creation of the world has created, the mind conceived the idea of a prison break, or even somebody had the desire to break out from that four-walled prison, heavily guarded with all those arms and with spotlights at night, and nobody can get out. There are prisons broken throughout this world. Amen. That's a physical prison we talk about. I preached some times back about the two prisons John the Baptist was in. How many of you heard that message? Two prisons John the Baptist was in. If you have not heard, I think we should put it onto the web, brother. It will be good if you can see here this. Because he had a mind of a two prison. He was in two prisons at a time. So we'll talk about a prison that we are in today. A prison that we have to break from. A prison that has been blocking us. But the Spirit of God which came upon Jesus Christ said that he came to deliver, give liberty to everyone who's oppressed and in captivity. Amen. If you read a different translation, it says he came to release the prisoners from captivity. Amen. So different translations. The easiest translation is to understand that we are at liberty. We are supposed to be set at liberty. That's what Jesus came for. Right? But you see, I want you to see a little bit back into the movies or whatever novels you read. Before a prison break, there is something that man has to conceive in his heart, that he wants to be free from that place. He has to convince himself that he has to break from that place. Number two, he has got to have a plan to break throughout out of the place. Is that right? Is that right? He has to have a plan, a detailed plan, not a just ordinary plan. So, okay, I'll jump out from this hall, from this side. He has to have a detailed plan, time, what to do, how to dig the wall, or how to use, what kind of utensils to use. Everything is detailed before he even starts breaking out from the prison. Is that right? Brothers and sisters, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus Christ. He went on the cross. We received salvation. But many of us are still in the prison. We are still in the prison. What form of prison do we have today in our lives? Guilt? Habits, and so many prisons. We are all into prisons that we cannot break out of it, even as a Christian. Lies, that many people say, the white lies is okay, but I don't know where you find white lies in the gospel, which allows. There are so many prisons that we are in our lives every day. Habitually, we have been in all these are prisons that we've been holding on to in our lives. Today we want to address a freedom for the prison we are in. From the prison that we are in, we want to have a breakthrough. Amen? Amen. The things that we have in our life, the prison is, such as guilt, fear, worry, grief, discouragement, disappointments, and depression, lust, anger, bitterness, jealousy, bad habits, and addictions. How many of you don't have any of this? Can you put up your hands? Neither do I. Somehow or other, we are trapped somewhere. The habits we have. Either we don't have something, but we have something else, maybe jealousy. We might have something else. We are prisoned. We have something that in us that cannot come out of us. Amen? So we want to do something this morning. These are the common bondages we are into in our lives. But we are Christians. We are born again Christians. And yet we repeat the sins again and again. Repeat the habits again and again because we could not get out from it. And I know people come and tell me, Pastor, I'm waiting for the Lord to come and take it away from me one day. And I'll just get up. I won't have it. When I'm walking, suddenly the habit will go away. And I pray it'll happen to all of us. But God has got a purpose for everything. Amen? Freedom in Isaiah, as what he says just now, it's from Isaiah 61. Right? He read Isaiah 61 and he read it from there and he says he's come to give freedom. What is prophesied before many, many years ago, Jesus came to fulfill it. Amen. He's fulfilled it. And yet we are still struggling in our lives. Some of the things that we are in our life is like Pharaoh. It's hardened. We want to go out. Pharaoh doesn't want to let go. Who is that Pharaoh inside us? Oh, wonderful. So that Pharaoh must be thrown out of us. He, every time we want to go nearer and we want to, we asked when Moses was released to release that Israelites from those captivity, and the Pharaoh, that God did so many signs and wonders. So he did so many 9 wonders, and the 10th one was to touch the life of somebody. God has to do. But every time his heart was hardened. Every time his heart was hardened. And I believe inside us has got a hardened heart. We tend to believe that what, unless and until we have these things in our life, we can't fulfill our life. Many of us feel that this habit that I have is something natural. It's okay to have this kind of habits. But habits of this form, God speaks very clearly many times, even in Revelation, there are nobody who can go up to heaven with all these habits. Man, God is very clear in what he says. God doesn't waver. He says, sometimes can. Oh, for you can. For you cannot. There's no such thing as that. What he says is across the board to every one of us. Whether pastors, evangelists, the fivefold ministry, or the congregation, every one of us are the same. We'll have to face the same thing as every one of us face. So you will see your pastor at that time, and I say naked, no, not naked physically, naked in the sense that everything will be exposed. So I better be right now. Otherwise, you will see my weaknesses too. Freedom is an inheritance for all children of God. Freedom is an inheritance for all of us. Why do I say that? John chapter 8, verse 30 to 31. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you. Amen. 36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So all of us, as a child of God, it's written that we are supposed to be free of everything. We are free. But our mind, our habits, our desires doesn't change, even after becoming Christians. That's what God wants us to do today. God wants to break that prison that we are in now. God wants us to break that habits that we are in now. We cannot do habits, and God made a way for us. Yes, it's true. Christ, his being in us can correct us. But are we allowing him to correct us? Are we allowing him to correct us? Many a times we don't want to be corrected. Many a times our desire is to hang on to the habits I have. You could have a habit. I'll just take a simple habit. How many have got smoking habits last time? Smoking habits. Nicotine destroys the body. You know that very well. I went to Indonesia. I prayed for a man. His entire lungs were all swollen, you know. Every part of every lobes inside is all swollen. It's all, it's reddish in color according to what they say. They went to Singapore, did the scan and everything else. It's really bad. It's cancerous stage. He can't breathe. He finds it difficult to breathe. And oxygen cannot be transmitted from the air which you breathe into the blood system. That much of problems he has got. So he destroyed himself. The habits that he has got destroyed this temple of God. It's not the desire of God that he should die now. But because you have this habit, you inherited it, you start feeding the habit, you start liking to be in the habit, then you're still a captive of this prison. Amen. A prison of habit of nicotine. It could be drugs. It could be anything that you have. It could be alcohol. It could be lies. It could be pornography. It could be something that you've been doing secretly. But God knows every one of us. God knows everything that we do. And God wants to change. And God makes provision for us to change. That is a provision. And a process. It's a process of change. When you become Christian today, born again, I remember I had difficult times in my life. I have to change a lot of things in my life. I have to change the way I talk first. I have to change the way I think first. I have to change the heart's desires. Otherwise it's difficult. I found that people around me were different. For me, everything is okay. Can. If you think that you cannot do a business, you can give somebody some money, you can make the business happen. Everything can in the world. But when I change, there was something that I have to change. It is hurting for me. It's a process I have to go through. I was testifying to somebody how I resigned from a place because he asked me to cheat. It's a process. I had to come to the place. Before that, I did the same thing what he did. Cheat. Cheat people of whatever you sell. Right? So you tend to cheat earlier. So now you tend to change because there is a desire in us that we want to be changed. We want to be Christ-like. That's the reason why we have to change daily. Amen? We have to change daily so that we can be Christ-like today. It takes time. It's a process. God knows our heart. God knows our habit. How many of you have driven your car and suddenly you take the route every day morning to the one place and come back? I've done that every time. I come from my house to here, to this church, and I always come to one route. Sometimes somebody says, I've got an appointment, and I still take the route and come here. Oh my gosh, I've got an appointment. Why am I here this morning? Suddenly, I've got another 15 minutes more to rush, and you start speeding from here to go to your appointment from here. Why? That was a habit that is created inside me. For years, I've been coming from my house to this place here. One route I use, I like that route, so it's easy for me to come. How many of you had the same? Autopilot now. You know there is a special appointment you have in the morning, 8 o'clock. You tend to come out at 7 o'clock. You come out all throughout, and you see suddenly you're in the place where it's the wrong place. I know I've gone through that. I don't know about you. Maybe you're perfect than me. But somehow or other, people make mistakes like that. Why? That was a habit inculcated inside me. It took only about a few days for me to get this habit. I did mention about last time, I did preach about habits, how to change habits. Today is a bit different from what I preached last time. Freedom occurs instantly, sometimes over a time or period. Sometimes you'll find when you pray for somebody for healing, you expect the healing to happen immediately right in front of your eyes so that the glory, you'll feel very nice. You'll feel, you know, bloated up. Your eyes, your head will be a little bit bigger. Your nose will be longer. But we want that to happen sometimes. Lord, I want to see something happen. But you see, the word of God says, signs and wonders will follow you. So we have to be following behind us. So you pray and go, then it will come. Right or not? How does follow means? Follow will follow behind you. Just like that. So signs and wonders. Wherever you go, you pray for somebody. After you left, the healing will take place. Amen? So sometimes it takes instantly. Sometimes it takes time. Amen? Same way in our life, we find struggling. Sometimes we struggle with a lot of habits. We want to take it away. Sometimes we get angry. My first address in my life was anger. Right? My address was anger. Because anger is pride and everything else comes inside. What is not, you don't get what you want. You get angry about what you want. Whatever you get, you didn't get. Right? You get angry with everybody. So you have to change. It's a process. It did not take one day to change, but it took a long time to change. It could be 1 year, could be half a year, could be months, could be 3 years, 4 years. But there is a change. But in this time, you must see something new happening. Something, there must be an advance in something. If I did yesterday 3 times lie, today must be only 2 times. Hello? Am I saying it right? No. You must actually change immediately. But sometimes certain habits in our life, people are struggling with, they can't get it. So we pray that today God will do. How does it work? God gave us salvation. That's grace, by grace. That's right. Salvation came by grace, not by works. We all know that very well. We all know that basics. But we have to work together. Let's turn to Philippians. Chapter 2. Verse 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Amen. Work out your salvation. Sometimes we have many people, some of them, nowadays I see the number is increasing. Working out salvation, there's always an argument with me when they speak about salvation, working out salvation. What is working out salvation? What was the preaching last week? Anybody remembers last week's preaching? Matthew chapter 4 verse 19, what did he say? Come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. So that is first part is what? First part is come follow me, your action. And God's action is second. His part is second. Then after that, he'll make you. Third part, he also does something on your life. Same way here, his salvation is the salvation came to us free. But we have to work out salvation. How do you work out salvation? Work out to keep your salvation all the time is to work together with God. To work together with the Spirit of God. Amen. Spirit of God gives us and says, oh, James, don't do this today, you know. You've been doing this every day. Can you stop doing it? It's painful for God. And you still say, oh, okay, not today, Lord. Tomorrow. Tomorrow, day of tomorrow is my birthday, no. On my birthday, I've come clean. It never happens. You can be living for donkey years. And the donkey number of birthdays you've gone through will never change. Because you always gave an excuse to change. Gave an excuse to change, not to change. Man. So God doesn't want you to do it. It's a work together with you and also with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We receive salvation. As I said just now, a prison break does not happen without you planning. You must detail plan. Lord, I want to change. I want this change today. I want to have this change. But somehow or other, your flesh pulls you out somewhere else. You ask God for help. We can't do it by ourselves sometimes. Most of the times, we can't do it ourselves. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to help. That's what work your salvation out. At that point of time, that point of sinning, that point of having that habit, if I have got a habit of nicotine, assuming I'm going to take that cigarette, if I'm going to take that cigarette, I have got to remind myself. Spirit of God says, don't. And I said, no, I do it one time. Then you feel the Spirit of God. It's a work between God and yourself because your flesh has been all the time involved with the things which is not right. Sometimes the spirit of nicotine is inside us. Most of the time. You have to get that spirit out of yourself. Amen? You got to get that spirit out of yourself. And they ask me why, Pastor, sometimes some people manifest, sometimes some people don't manifest. Sometimes some people don't manifest. Is their desire to change is true? Is your desire to change, is it true? Is that the desire is so urgent that you want to change? No. We are complacent in our lives. Because we are complacent, that's why we can't change. Complacent, and we want to take it for granted. It's okay, because salvation says that, grace says that I will be forgiven. I'm forgiven once and for all. I can still come back to him. I remember times when last time in my life, I always thought, you know, after doing the things, and then he can go back and do a confession, he'll be all right already. So when he go back next time, it's still okay. You know, I know I can speak to somebody, I get my sins absolved or habits absolved. But it's not true. God has got to work in us, and we have to work with God. We have to deny the flesh. We have to deny the thoughts. We deny the taste, so that we do not have this taste. We long after this taste. Amen? We have to deny. Many times, it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We just suppress the Holy Spirit. We don't want to hear the Holy Spirit. And we say, Pastor, I'm just waiting. Something happened in my life. I just hope that tomorrow, God, when I get up, God will just come and strike. I'll go away. I pray it will happen. But God has got His purpose. I'll show it to you afterwards. You see, why I say that is a process that you must work together with God. When Moses was sent to deliver, the power of God worked through Moses. He hesitated to go first. He didn't want to go, but power of God enabled him to do it. When he went there, he went to see at a time, and the people also, the Israelites, cooperated with him. There was a cooperation. For that prison break from Pharaoh, there was a cooperation. They had to do what God asked them to do. They had to do this that night before that, they have to slaughter the lamb, they have to take the blood and put it up. They listened to God, and the Israelites listened to it. They cooperated with God's command. They cooperated with God's will, cooperated with the desires of God. That is why there was a prison break. Amen? There was a cooperation with God. Spirit of God is willing to do what He wants to do, but are you willing to cooperate with the Spirit of God? Joshua, when he went into the land, the promised land, he went inside. He didn't say, just go inside, stand there, the land is mine. He said, seize it. Bring down the giants. There must be a work on your side. There must be cooperation with God. God says, He says, He came and stood as a Lord of hosts. He stands there and He says, I'm the commander of the legion of the army of God. I'll go with you. But he has to follow. Joshua has to follow. Joshua has to cooperate with the Spirit of God. Joshua has to cooperate with the commander of the legion of the army of God. Joshua had to go and seize the places. Joshua has to kill. If he did not do that, the land would not have been obtained. There was no freedom. Jericho, before the walls of Jericho fell, there was a word. And he says, now you go around 7 days, seven times. You go around, excuse me. And worshipping. And you just go around walking around the place. And the last day you just blow your shofar and your trumpets. And the walls will come down. If they did not hear to that, God's word, would there be a break in, would there be a fall in the Jericho walls? No. We do not cooperate. Because we tend to be sitting now in the place that we are comfortable in. Amen. Ouch. We tend to be comfortable. That is why I see sometimes, why can't a Christian, I always ask myself, Lord, if I walk, Lord, if you say I'm radiating life, if I sit somewhere, people must see me different from others. How come I'm not being like that? How come I'm not radiating that light? Because the Spirit of God is in you. You are suppressing Him, not working in you. Our habits. I still have fear till today to go back to my old friends, you know. To go back to my old friends. We are partners in crimes together. Okay? Whatever crimes. I've already said one of my friends has got this crime of stealing like that and going off. I don't see him nowadays. Because why, you know? Although I didn't like what action of what he was doing, I enjoy eating what he stole. Seriously, that's what my life. I'm truthful to you all. I'm telling you the truth. He steals something. I go and steal rambutans, mangoes, which I told you all. It's always tastier in the other garden than my garden. It was good. But I'm scared. I was caught many times. But I'm scared to go and speak to the people about Christ now. You know why? There's a fear inside me that they will say, hey, you are a Christian now. How come last time you were so bad? You're also Christian. What? You were a different denomination. What? How come now you're talking something different? You know, you are fearful of people speaking back to you. It's honestly I'm saying that. It's the truth. To go back to my old neighbors in my kampong, I pray that they will become to know the Lord. But how am I to radiate them? I too have a problem. A fear of rejection.
Sometimes we have fear. We have to overcome all these fears. Unless we overcome these fears, we can't become the light for us, God. We can't become the light for the Lord. The light is in us. But we have got this problem. We'll talk about it one by one. I pray every time when we talk about all this problems, different habits, we will, like different prisons we are in, we can overcome. We can do it today. If I have time, I will finish with depression today. Okay? If I can finish today. Now, the Word of God gives us all clear that we have to do our part. We have not cannot sit down and say, yes, I received salvation. Everything is okay. I'm all right. I don't do anything. No. We have to change our life. Repentance means, I think we've spoke about repentance last time. It's metanoia. It's a change, the mindset. A paradigm shift in ourselves too. Right? A paradigm shift. Christians have to work together with God's work. And we know Christian's life has got one. Number one, justification. Number two is glorification and sanctification and glorification. And you know what glorification is about? You know what is sanctification is about? Sanctification. Justification is works. God's work of providing us with salvation. It simply requires our faith. That's justification. Sanctification is the process of change where we enter into the freedom God has promised us and become Jesus-like in every area of our life. That's a process we have to go through. Glorification is when God comes, Jesus comes back again and returns and removes sin from our lives. Total sin. Sin in the world itself. Time will come. He'll come back again. But until then, we have to work a process. Life itself is a process we have to go through. Life itself is a process. You tell me life is not a process, I think you must be still somewhere. Every day life is a process. There are times I learn so many things from the congregation, from people, even the youngest person, I learn something from them every day. There is something I can get learning something. So something that God can teach me through people. God can teach me through signs outside. God can teach me something that even sometimes I ask, Lord, if you are here, Lord, show me a sign that you are here with me today. Because I told you, I will not go to this place without you. If it is not, I will turn back. But He'll show a sign in the sky. Something different on the day. And I know the Lord is with me. And that's a great harvest for Him. Amen? Amen? Amen. So God is the habit. It's like habits, you know, we have many of us. The children are in our life. You will find as you plant a seed, and the seed has got a process to grow. And today, whatever seed has been planted, it will grow. It will grow instantaneously. Some of it will grow just like what Jonah did. Instantaneously overnight it grew. Or it can grow in a process of some time later. Amen? It takes a process. To change habit takes about 21 days to come into our life. That's what the readers say, the scientists say. Say habits takes 21 days. You do the same thing, it becomes part of yourself. If you brush, I think I told you about the habits. It's about if you brush this side, you'll find that if you continue brushing this side, automatically in a day you'll just brush it. I took the same route from my house to this place here. Before that I stayed somewhere else. I took that route. And now I change the route. And when I come here for 21 days, it becomes auto-registered here. It becomes habitual for me. Same way, it takes time. What is the difference? Why is that it's important for us? Sometimes it takes time to process. Sometimes we take a process in changing. I took a process in changing my anger, to manage my anger. It took time. It took time for my pride to go away. It took time, not overnight. But what I learned from that? God wants to develop a character in us. When it's given to you like that, you don't appreciate it. When you work through that character, work out your salvation, you learn how to keep it and how to module yourself in the way of image of God, and it will not go away from you. Assuming, example I give you today, if you are a rich man's son, you didn't do anything, you don't even know what it's like. They always drink mineral water, nothing else. Tap water, no. They can't drink, right? If you one day suddenly the father dies, the inheritance comes to the son or the daughter, you will find they will not know how to appreciate that money which has been handed over to them. They don't know how to appreciate. Why? They did not go through the process of earning it. And this person, okay, this dad of mine is a miser. You know, all those words. You know why? Because he did not go through the pain of accumulation. The pain that he went through, he knows how to appreciate. That's the character. That's the character of the person. God has got to mold the character in us.
in the process of we learning and changing. That character will be always inside us. It cannot be from outside, just instantly given and go out. God can deliver you, but you also must have the habit of not going back to the things. We have seen people in this church who have been delivered from nicotine. For many years they have been there. Instantly this went away because the desire was very strong. That surely I want a change. I want it now, Lord. He received what he wanted. They received what they wanted. But some of us, the habits, no, after this, I will have a smoke, laugh after a last smoke outside. After that, I will drop it. No, we don't have that. I don't have to explain to you this. There's a man in my life I know of. He was the A&W manager in Tongkabraman Road. There's the A&W outlet today. And this man, Chung Swee Lee, came down. He is a smoker. I remember he smokes Peter Stuyvesant because we used to challenge him. What is the number of E's in from Peter to the first word to the last word? You know, he'll count. You know, although he's drunk, you know, he'll round and tell me. I was the only one not drunk, you see, at the time. So he will be able to count and tell me how many numbers. Then he say he's still sober. Right? To test the sobriety is his mind. He is a heavy smoker. But one day something happened in the restaurant. Somebody spoke to him something. And immediately the cigarette he was on his mouth, he put it off, put up a whole packet, he threw away. From that day until today, he's now in, bless his soul, he's now in New Zealand. He didn't touch a cigarette. He's not a believer. What was that? A conviction that he should not do. I pray we are Christians. We'll have a stronger conviction of the Holy Spirit. We can change. We can change. And we'll have the character. What God wants to do is character, molding of character. If the molding of character is done in us, in the process of breaking the prison, that will always remain in us. There was a process, whatever nobles, whatever person want to break from a prison, there is a process, a detailed plan, a desire to get out. There must be a desire. And the desire, it says, if I am killed all the way, doesn't matter, but I did make it out. Amen? They want to make it out from that prison. It's our desire to come out from that prison of nicotine, from alcohol, from guilt, from other things that we have in our life, habits. Is it so strong that we really want to break? We have to break from that. We have to, because we are Christians. That's the difference within us and the world outside. Amen? There's a difference within us and the world outside. We know the word. They do not know the word. Amen. Praise God. This process is often is difficult times. The process is always difficult. Process is painful in our lives. Process is sometimes going through. I remember seeing a person who had a problem with drugs. And the third day he could stand for the second day itself he had a problem. And the third day he was really shivering and he desired that. He says, can you hold on? Go and have a shower and come back. That a body wanted, but his spirit didn't want. Just like Jesus went through. But his spirit to control. His desire was greater than the body started stopping to shiver. Amen? Amen. So there is a freedom. Freedom, principles of freedom. There are a few principles in our freedom. Number one, move from admitting that you are always, you know, going away. You know, some of us, we have got our habits. We tend to hide our habits. And then when suddenly somebody explodes it out and becomes shameful to us. I wouldn't want to bring up here, but there is a pastor I know of. Very strong pastor in the US. Well-known pastor. Suddenly they realized that this man had a pornography problems. And it was exposed out because he picked up somebody from the street. And that girl could remember, could recognize him. And she spoke out and became a humiliation toward his pastor. And he resigned as a pastor. He went on. I'm just talking about a servant of God. What about all of us here who are hiding? All of us, including me. Some of you might think I'm okay. Maybe I have a habit problem. All of us, anger, mismanagement, or whatever it is, we have to get ourselves right. The first step is to admitting that you have a problem. Admitting. Don't deny that we don't have a problem. Don't deny that deception, it's a lie. It's a spirit of lie and deception that the first in the Garden of Eden was passed on to Eve that is still around us. We have to go away from this deceptive spirit. that I am holy at thou, but deep inside us we are different. Admit you have a problem. And we know we have a confession here. If we've got a positive confession book here written by Pastor Hildegard, now we must start thinking for confessions. You must confess daily that you want to be out of this prison. Ask God to help you in this. Holy Spirit, help me. I want to get out of this. My desire, your desire must be stronger day by day. Confess. So you must tell somebody. If you think that you're hiding from somebody, you get somebody you can talk to and say, I've got this problem. Help me out. Okay, I'll talk about it a little while later. Right, first of all, to identify, don't deny that you don't have a problem. Whether it is small or big, don't deny. Say, yes, I have a problem and I want to change. Admittance is important, number one. Number two, move from excuses to responsibility. You must move from excuses. The excuse I gave you just now is one of them. Never mind, I'll wait for my birthday. Or I'll wait for the new year, no? January 1st, I'll be clean. You'll write your resolution from October itself. I'm going to be clean from this. But I tell you, it'll go on only for about a few days. After that, it'll go back to the normal day. Right? If we have this problem, we have to change. We have to change because move from excuses. We give excuses every time. Oh, no, la, you know, if I give up this, if I were to stop lying, how can my business grow? God is the blesser. God is the one who can bless anything in this world. Even if somebody is dead, he can raise them up. I've seen one that I didn't realize that until recently somebody said, do you know, Pastor, when you prayed that day, the man was dead? It's confirmed dead by the doctors. But we didn't tell you. You prayed and went off, and that man came alive. I didn't know that. Because God knows. He can give life to the dead body. He can give life to a dead plant. He can give life to anything if he wants to. What more? We are precious before him. We are so precious, he'll give us life. Amen? We cannot give excuses from today onwards. We give excuses, never mind, this is because I cannot do it, because I've got a problem. If I give up this, I have a problem. You know, if I don't tell a white lie, I've got a problem. The actual problem will, you know, show up and we'll have a big problem. You wouldn't know how many white lies you told before you said to hide the problems. I hope you keep track of your white lies. Someday somebody finds out and you have a deep problem. The third thing is to move from independence to community. Every time we have something in ourselves, I have a problem with myself. You see, when I used to have my elder here in the church here, I was very close with the elders, Petra and Jackson. Very close with them. I don't have to say anything to them. I have a problem. He'll call me up and say, Pastor, I just prayed and I feel that you're going through something. And the Lord says that you are like a bear. The spirit of bear shall come upon you. This is what the word, I'm giving you exact word for what Pastor Jackson tells now. So when he went away, I had a little bit of problems communicating with some people. Because what he does and what we do is different. Not only that we speak out, but he'll know by spiritually, he'll tell straight away like that. I could tell about him or his wife. So there was a closeness, a prayer closeness, an understanding in the spiritual realm. Understanding the same Spirit of God moves in us and we'll be able to know that we are down. Even now, in Australia, they will understand what's happening here. And I could understand what they go through there sometimes. That's the Spirit of God. So you were able to open up to somebody and speak to them the problem without hiding anything. And you are no more independent. You are with the Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit might counsel you directly to somebody. Because during the time of problems when you have, we are overwhelmed with our problems. Our problems become so huge right in front of us. We can't see anything. We can't hear because it's blocked. The ears are blocked. Because our problems are always buzzing inside us here. Our habits are buzzing here. When we come communal, somebody is keeping track of ourselves. Amen? So independence in overcoming a problem or a guilt or something, you should speak to somebody. Choose somebody who will be able to confide. You can confide in, and that person can be able to keep what you speak. Confidentiality is important. Right? Confidentiality is important. So don't go. You can come to a group of them. Could be a cell group, a group of people you pray with. You can tell them. And they will pray together with you. They keep track with you. If one prayer group member does not remember that week, somebody else will call you and, how are you keeping today? Did you have that same kind of feeling today morning? How did you overcome it? So somebody keeps track of you. God keeps track on you through somebody else physically. Amen? God never forgot us. There are many times in our life I remember. You know, God never forgets us, because I remember when I was young, when I read the verse just now, keep your salvation, not because that when I'm not there, you know, only then you go through, you know, when I'm, you know, just now we read Philippians chapter, when you read just now, Philippians, work out a salvation. Therefore, my beloved, as you have obeyed, always obeyed, not as in my presence, and only but much more in my absence, work your salvation out. You know, sometimes we have this problem. In our school days, I remember, I don't know, I'm sure you all had this problem also. You're very naughty, the whole class is noisy or whatever, they are doing, jumping around everywhere else. And then, you know, you're scared only the principal. I remember the whole class was fearful of one man, is the LaSalle brother, Reverend Keshen Papusamy. When he comes, everybody will be scared. So, one day, to fear everybody else, I was sitting at the back and I shouted, Brother Keshen is here, Brother Keshen is here, Brother Director is here, Brother Director is here. Everybody says, lies. You know what suddenly I heard? Yeah, I'm here. Just behind me. Because you got two doors like that, you know. One door is the other side and one door is this side. And one door in the center. So I'm at the back. The monitor is in front here, you know. That is a class monitor. He sits in front. And I'm sitting at the back and I just said, hey, come on, keep quiet, my friends. Can't you all, because we have got gangs in our school, you know, last time we have got one A group just sitting on my left and B group sitting on my right. And one fellow know kung fu, the other fellow know, I don't know anything. If they fight, the chairs will go through me. Alright? So that's how it was, the class. And I can remember, every time I will fear them by only Brother Director, because he doesn't scare anybody. He'll pull them out, bring them out to the assembly state where all the classes can see, he'll punish them in front. So that's the worst thing can ever happen to you. Being caned publicly. Because all of them, from standard, the primary school to the secondary school, they'll see you up there. So we don't want to go up there, not even to get a cane on our hands. It's a shame to us. When we hear his name, everybody else. So sometimes we have to have somebody in our life that we fear. God, we fear. We know we fear God. Whether he's, you know, you feel his presence or not, we must fear his presence. We must fear him. Not fear in that fear that you're scared of him or something. The fear of holy fear. That he's holy. I'm not holy. I'm doing something different. That's why he says, not in my presence. Paul, when in the presence, you know, sometimes in a pastor's presence here or somebody around, you have been doing good. No. After I go off already, somebody else think, oh, that is time. The rats will start working. Right? Especially what's this church mouse. So we have to change that attitude. Not because of we fear somebody, but we can collect, talk to somebody so that they can watch us. Not out of fear, because out of love. It's out of love. Nobody wants to reprimand somebody else, because we will be reprimanded by God too. We cannot judge somebody else. So when we talk to somebody, we are actually talking to them so that we can understand each other, then be able to keep an eye, help me out physically. Amen? Though we fear God, we know somebody is watching us, accountable to. Amen? We have to be accountable to somebody else. I have an accountable person, but he's in Australia. Elderly pastor, but John Ollis is my father. So he's far away, only we speak through emails. But as a comrade, I speak together with Brother Jackson and Sister Petra and Brother Kiseng from Shanghai. And I thank God, but Kiseng is now coming to Singapore now. So it's near. Amen? Praise God. He'll come quite often to preach in the church again. He'll be able to teach again in the church. He's in the National University of Singapore. Now, from being independent, we have to be dependent. We come to a community area. So the fourth one is to move from complacency to desperation. See, we are complacent. Just now we talked about, why are we doing all this thing again? We are complacent in a lot of things. It's okay lah, tidapa. You know, Malaysians, tidapa attitude. It's okay lah, one more time only lah. God can forgive me tomorrow morning. You know, when we go there to the church on pastor prayer, my sins are okay already lah. I stand in front of pastor there, you know, when they are taking the communion, they are praying together, I just close my eyes, okay lah, God will forgive me. Complacency. You're taking grace for granted. Do you understand? We are taking grace for granted. Grace is something is given to us free. Appreciate it. Oh, wealth which is given to us, richer than any of our wealth in this world. Even Solomon's wealth cannot compare to the grace of God. Cannot compare. It's dust. It's just a speck of dust. People say in this world today that Solomon's wealth was the wealth that nobody can ever have in this world now. You accumulate all the wealth of his. Nobody has got it today. Even put together nations, you cannot have that kind of wealth. That much of wealth he had. That wealth is dust in the eyes of the grace of God. So we must appreciate this grace. We must value this grace. We must understand this grace that we have with Christians is different from others. Somebody told me the other day, a rich person, very rich person. I was speaking to them, evangelized to them. So I threw a dinner. Somebody introduced me and I was talking to them. They know this woman has come here, come to a place and prayed some and she fell down. She's a non-believer. A staunch Buddhist. And she still got one question. Pastor, I don't understand with you Christians, you know. The guy is a murderer. Next day you call him, his already sins are forgiven. That's Christ. That's Christ. When his heart repents and he goes before the God, his sins are forgiven. And I know one man. And I know one man who peddled drugs. But the world doesn't know what else he did. The authority doesn't know what else he did. And I know. He confessed. You know, I was released from the prison. 14 years waited for his gallows. 14 years in prison waiting. The next cell where he's seated here, the next cell is where you can hear some cries going out. Electrocution. You can people screaming. Waited for 14 years in that cell. This last day, when he went to this court, this is the last appeal he's got. His hearing is, his execution is tomorrow. Today is the hearing. And his lawyer comes there. Only God can help you. And he said, to be very frank with you, last night I knelt down in the place and I just cried out. I said, whoever God you are, whatever you are, help me. I want to live. I'm sorry for what I've done. Do you know what? The judge could not find anything on him. And he said his man is released the next day. He's today preaching the word of God. Going to prison cells preaching. He's very old. I'm blessed that he's getting married now. He's been to our church here, no? To preach. He goes to every cells in the world. He's going to Philippines. Many, many cells he goes to speak. He's gone to India. He's gone to Vietnam. He's gone to many prisons to speak what he went through. But people do not know he was a murderer. They only know he cooks a sugar, which is cocaine, and sells. And that man is released. That is the work of God. None of us can give. None of us can forgive him. Or even the families who lost lives through his hands can forgive him. But Jesus can forgive. Jesus can forgive him. How valuable it is for us. Can you just imagine standing here? I could have been put into prison or whatever. I've got to be judged by Lord. I'm standing here in the faith. God has forgiven me. Amen? That's what people don't understand outside. People don't understand. The mother and daughter did not accept. And I'm praying one day, the word I spoke that day will one day become alive. And God will manifest in their life. And they will become Christians. They will know God. They will know Christ himself. That he died for, not only for me, for them too. Amen? So we have to have no more complacency in our life. We cannot forgive. We cannot go out and give in to things. We cannot compromise in our world. We cannot compromise. No, today is okay. I can take one. Tomorrow I'll just forget about it. No such thing as that. Every day is a life for us. That if a death comes tomorrow, or even the rapture comes tomorrow, just after this. Did I tell you all a testimony the other day? I was so tired in the morning. There was a rapture I saw in my vision. The only face I could remember is Sister Anita. There were so many faces, you know. Because that day morning, early morning, the week for last week, on Saturday morning, early morning, after preaching for about 4 or 5 hours, I think so, from 11:30 to 4 o'clock in the morning, I was very tired. I had to come back here for the morning devotion. So I decided to wear the same shirt and sat down in my pillow. I want to go and rest for a while so that I will wake up. Lights all on. Suddenly I had a vision of rapture. I could see faces. I saw huge, I don't know where this water is pouring out from.
just pouring out. Beautiful waters, no? Just water. Clear waters pouring out. And the clouds are so white. Radiant. Suddenly I see faces just going off like that. I see goes off. I see goes off. Just like that. The last one was Sister Anita. I saw. The other faces I can't remember. Maybe all of you were there. So she was on the phone suddenly. I saw a face. Hey, why she's on the phone? Probably she was calling me. Amen. Glory to God. Rapture. So any time could be rapture. Any time could be the day that the day of coming of the Lord is. So we must be keeping ourselves perfect. Working our salvation daily. Every moment of our life. If there is something that we do, quickly repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I should not have done this. I'm sorry, brother or sister. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we must move from complacency to desperation. Desperate. I'm so desperate I want to change. I'm so desperate I want to give up this. I'm so desperate I want to kick this out, this habit out of my life. I don't have any more guilt. If you're still guilty about things, I don't have any more guilt, you must say. Because Jesus took that guilt out from me. His mission statement in Luke chapter 4 verse 18 is the mission statement he has given. He has fulfilled his mission. We are still not in the mission sometimes. So let's get out of this complacency and go. We must move from lethargy to vigilance. We don't watch ourselves. Why? We are lethargic. Even the things come around us, also we close eyes. Never mind. I always have a problem with my son. I told you all the other day. I'm being very frank with you all. That's why no wonder my son was supposed to be here. He didn't want to come today. I tell him off. I tell him, this is not right. If I don't tell him, who else is going to tell him? Because you love him, you must tell him. So I tell him, this is not right, son. What are you doing is not right. He might get angry. Doesn't matter. If I'm complacent, I close my eyes and say, never mind what he does. I have not spoken out. I'm accountable for it the time when I see God. I put that word into your mouth. I put that conviction in your heart that this is not what your son is doing right. You must have reprimanded him. It doesn't matter whether he takes it or not, but you must have reprimanded him. I'm accountable for that. Eli. Remember Eli? Samuel? He had a problem. Right? His children were a problem. He knows they were doing wrong in the eyes of him. Yet, he allowed it to happen. He closed his eyes. He closed one eye. We call it Malaysia one eye. He closed one eye. We're not supposed to close one eye. Even your friend next to you, if you see them doing, you must tell them. That's why you're a friend. Otherwise, you're not a friend. I tell my sons, if your friend helps you in your life so that you will do the right thing, then he's a true friend. If he just becomes partners, I told you last time, right? I became partners in crimes. So if they become partners in crimes, it's wrong. They're not true friends. We must speak out. We must be not lethargic about the things. Never mind the whole world like this, lah. Never mind that the government's corrupted. Never mind. But when the policemen stop you, never mind, if I give him, it's okay, lah. Close the eye, lah. No. Write your bill. It's okay. I'll pay for it. I've done something wrong. Write it. I'll pay for it. That's taking responsibility. Moving from lethargy to vigilance. You're vigilant about what's happening around. You're vigilant about what's happening in yourself. You're vigilant about what characters you are. Today I spoke to somebody. What made them angry today? How did I offend them? It's important to understand. If we do not know, then we're going to have different problems. We're going to face some problems. Because we are lethargy at all times. We should move out from lethargy, complacency, so that God can work in us and we can be better off in life. It's important for us to understand. Brothers and sisters, I wouldn't have time to speak about today. Freedom from breaking prison from depression, because that takes another 45 minutes. And I pray today, I will conclude today with this. I want you to go back and read. Number one, read Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Understand it. Understand it. Ask the word of God. Ask the Spirit of God. That word will come alive in you. That mission statement of Jesus Christ, which is also in chapter 61 of Isaiah, will become alive in us. Will become embedded in us. Will become something, a source that God has given us. His word will never fade away, will not go away. His word is sure to come to pass. It has come to pass. We are still contemplating in our mind. As a Christian, we have more, greater things than any other person outside. We have a greater chance of doing things. God has given you the power to do the things. God has given you the will to do it. Amen? But we do not want to have that will, because the will is to go opposite of the will of God. We have that will. The Spirit of God is not different from God. It's the same Spirit. If we have the same Spirit with God that is in us, we'll move away from the spirit of the world. Will we move away from the spirit of the sins, characters that is not right? Our character will be more different. We'll be different from the others. Read Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. See how our friend Moses was struggling at a time. He had to go and bring the people out. How God delivered the people out from Egypt. There must be a cooperation within the people. The people, the Christians, we, and the Holy Spirit, for us to come out of the prison, to break prison out. You'll see most of the time, breaking prison is not one man job. It's always a group of them. They have to dig together. They have to explore together. They have to see the map. One man has to keep watch out. So as men watch out, that's why the community, when you come together, no more independent. Somebody watches you out. Somebody helps to pray for you. Somebody leads you. No, today don't go here. You go to this pub, you know, I know you're going to drink. So let's not go for the pub. Let's go away from the pub. I'll take you to another place here. A restaurant without any food, any alcohol. That's what community is all about. Moving away. People that cooperated with God at the time for them to come out of Egypt. They did not come out by themselves. They have to cooperate with God. We have to cooperate with the Spirit of God. We have to cooperate with people around us so that we can come out. Confess that you are a sinner. Confess the habits that you have. Say, yes, I have an habit. Admit it. Don't hide. It's okay. Nobody's going to kill us. But we will be burnt in fire if we don't change. We will be burnt in fire for eternity if we don't change. Confess. I'd rather confess now than to be in fire. I don't care what you think, but I know there's something happening in my life that I can change to become more like Christ. More like Christ. So we'll have a character of Christ. Amen? Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, today, that everything that you've done today, Father God, that we are able to move from even everything that we have, Father God, every habits, every prison door that is around us, Father. Be it a, Father God, alcohol, be it a lot, cigarettes, be it a, Father God, of even a, Father, guilt feeling. Even a, Father, if there is any feeling, a Father God, of even, Lord, words that comes from our mouth, a Father, which is not right, a Father. Lies, deception, everything, a Lord, which is not right, a Lord, in your eyes, a Lord. Whatever prison we are in, whether it could be anger or lust or bitterness, depression, jealousy, habits, addictions to certain things. Lord, we pray today, we'll break together. We'll break prison together. Holy Spirit, we want to thank you today. Whatever is my problem, whatever is the problem of everyone is here, Lord, expose it so that we can work together and have a character of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.